Now it is good to see everyone tonight, and we appreciate you coming, and as our brother has already done, we make you very welcome in the Lord's name, and trust you'll remember these nights of this week as the gospel is preached, and that you'll endeavor to come and to encourage others to come as well. We look to the Lord for his help. And long to hear of someone being saved. Long to hear of those who are even interested in finding Christ. So pray for the meetings that God might give that help and blessing in these nights. Now I want to read a verse with you. It's found in 1 Peter and chapter 3. The first epistle of Peter. And chapter 3, and reading verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now that's all we want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. We have read tonight some words that Peter wrote all those two millenniums ago. And yet you know they are just as real and relevant today as they ever were. These great words that Peter pens when he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. There's many things in this verse, and we may not be able to deal with them all. But just to mention them, because they're worth mentioning, he speaks about Christ, the person. He says, for Christ also hath once. That's the permanence, something that's permanent. He says that Christ also hath once suffered. That reminds us of the pain. For sins is the purpose. Amazing thought, isn't it? The just perfection for the unjust, the persons, you and I. That he might bring us to God. That's the great plan that God has. That we might be brought to him. Being put to death in the flesh. That's his passion on the cross. But quickened by the Spirit. And that tells us something about the power. Now there's a lot in that verse, isn't there? And yet you know, it's absolutely exhaustless. He speaks about Christ. When you read through the New Testament, and especially the epistles, very often you read the title, Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ the Lord, and so on. But then there are times you just get that title, Christ, on its own. And that's how we have it here tonight. And he says, for Christ. You know, this evening, if you've come along to the meeting, and we're glad to see you, we're here not to speak about ourselves, but we're here to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because tonight, the reality is that it's only in this person and no other person that you can come to know your sins forgiven and a home in heaven forever. Now that's worth having. That's worth knowing. You know, in our Bible, Paul often, he tells us how that Christ died. Tremendous thought, isn't it? But I was thinking, you know, of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when she met the Lord Jesus and she said to him, "We know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things." And the Lord Jesus could say to that woman, "I that speak unto thee am he." You know, the Bible tells us how that woman went away into the city and she spoke to those men of the city and she said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The Christ. Christ died. I want to emphasize this for a minute or two. You know, it's something that Paul is absolutely enthralled with, the fact that Christ died. He tells us that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He tells us, "We preach Christ crucified." You know something? The whole message that he had was filled with Christ. In fact, he tells us in Romans 1, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I want you to know tonight, it's not a religion that you need, and it's not a new set of rules that you need. It's a person that you need tonight. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died. Someone might say, "But everybody dies." That's true. One out of one. Got 100% record. Everybody dies. But Christ died. We die, men die, because of sin. But Christ died for our sins. We die because we were born with sin and in sin. But the marvel is that Christ had no sin, yet he died. You know, it's like this tonight. All of us here are liable to death. But the Lord Jesus was capable of death. Christ died. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, it's quite an amazing chapter, maybe not so widely known. In chapter 5, I want to tell you a story. A story that is set in London, England, about 150 years ago. There was a great preacher in London in those days. His name was called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He preached in a place, what they called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And it held 6,000 people, and sometimes they tell us on a Sunday evening there could have been 10,000 crammed into that building. There was a young woman who had got saved at those meetings in London when Spurgeon preached. She was 21 years of age. Her uncle, was one of the wealthiest men in London. His name was Henry Goodyear. You've all heard of the Goodyear tires, maybe. Well, he was a man at the commencement. Henry Goodyear. They tell us that even then, he was a millionaire 10 times over. He lived in one of the greatest homes in London. He had the greatest carriages, of course, horse-drawn carriages. He wore the finest clothes. He ate the best food. He had the greatest of servants. But he hated God. And he hated the Bible. And he hated the word eternity. And even more, he hated the word hell. But his niece had got saved. And she had prayed a lot about her uncle. She wanted him to come and hear Spurgeon preach. And she thought and she prayed, and then she finally decided she would go to his mansion and would, as best she could, ask him just for one favor, if he would go with her to hear Spurgeon. She plucked up courage. She went. She went into his drawing room. And very gently and humbly and graciously, she asked her poor, rich uncle, because really, he was rich, but he was very poor as well, because he had nothing for eternity. He was rich as regards this world, but he had nothing for the other side. Have you anything for the other side tonight? Or is it all on this side? And so she graciously asked him, and he consented to go. The following Sunday was arranged. And so he drove up with his servants, footmen, in his carriage to the niece's home. And she got into the carriage and they went along and they went through the streets of London and they came to the great Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon preached. And they moved inside and they got two seats. And the service was just about to begin when a man stepped forward to the platform and he said, "Mr. Spurgeon is taken ill. And he's not able to preach tonight." And the girl's heart sank. She had gone to all this effort to get her uncle to hear Spurgeon. And now he's not even there to preach. And the man went on to say that because of so short notice, we couldn't get another preacher, but we have asked a deacon and he is going to speak. And this man, trembling, came forward. And would you believe it? He read Genesis chapter 5. The whole chapter, 32 verses. And the girl's heart went further down, you know. And I don't know if you've read Genesis 5 recently, but you know, it says about Adam. Adam lived and he died. And then Seth, he lived and he died. And Enos lived and he died. And Jared and so on, Methuselah. In fact, 8 times over, he lived and he died. And this man, this deacon, he had no sooner started to try and speak until he gripped the side of the platform and he had to be led off the platform. And the meeting was over. And the girl's heart went down further. She got into the carriage Her uncle never spoke. Left his niece to her residence. He enters his own mansion. And you know something? He paced the floor. And all that he could think was this. He lived. And he died. And the big grandfather clock in the corner, every time it chimed, it seemed to say he lived and he died. In fact, he couldn't sleep that night. You know, when God speaks to someone, he doesn't even need a Spurgeon. He doesn't even need a Paul nor an Apollos. And he certainly doesn't need just a creature like me. The morning came. The servant knocked the door. He came in with his breakfast on a silver tray. And all that Henry Goodyear could think was, and he lived. He pulled the blinds and he looked out on his flowing lawns and his men were at work in those beautiful gardens. And all that he could think of was, and he died. His niece had prayed that night and she was in prayer that morning. And she was thinking to herself, but you know, that's all he heard, and he lived and he died. He didn't hear about how that Christ died, and she was thinking all this. And the Lord seemed to say to her, will you go and tell him? She made her way to her uncle's mansion, and she found him on his knees weeping. He said to his niece, he said, there must be more to this. Oh, she says, there is. And she told him about the man, Christ Jesus, who lived and he died. And he died for sinners. And he died for Henry Goodyear. And that morning, Henry Goodyear was wonderfully saved. He embraced Christ. Christ died. Have you ever embraced Christ yet? You know, the hymn writer said, I now believe, I do believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Peter says, for Christ, that's the person. It's Christ you need tonight. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not trying a new religion. No, no. It's Christ that you need. Peter says, for Christ also hath once. That's permanent. Once. Something that happened once. Something that never will happen again. Do you know why? Because it doesn't need to. Because, you see, when Christ died on that cross once, it was enough. Enough to satisfy the claims of God. Enough to span eternity. Enough to save whosoever will, who will believe. For Christ also hath once. You know, the Bible's full of that. The Bible says, once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Isn't that good? It's once. In the Old Testament, there were multitudes, there were millions of sacrifices. And all of them stacked together could never deal with or put away one sin. Does that not magnify the one sacrifice that deals with all sin? Well, listen tonight. What happened at the cross when Christ died will never happen again. Enough for me that Jesus died, the hymn writer said. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My listen tonight. This is real, you know. It really happened. He really did die. It's not some fairy tale or some fiction. The fact is this tonight, you know, if you believe history itself, you've got to believe that Christ died. You believe about Napoleon. Well, Christ died. That's history. Christ died. That's mystery. Death had no claim upon him, yet he died. Christ died. That was agony. The Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For Christ also hath once suffered. Oh, the pain. Think about this tonight. He suffered from sinners. He did. You know, the poet said, all the shame men heaped upon thee, thou didst patiently endure. You know, Psalm 22 tells us something about the sufferings. It says, they pierced my hands and my feet. All my bones, they look and they stare upon me. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He suffered from sinners. Ah, but wait. He suffered with sinners. With sinners. Isaiah 53 says, he was numbered with the transgressors. But let me say this tonight. He suffered for sinners. He suffered from sinners. He suffered with sinners. But he suffered for sinners. Do you ever think of that tonight? That he suffered for me? My. He took my place and died for me. What a Savior tonight. We can never tell how much he suffered. What men did to him. We can understand in some measure. But let me say this tonight. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And when that darkness came down on Golgotha's hill and the Lord Jesus was alone, something happened that you and I could never explain. that God laid my sins on Jesus, and the judgment that was due to my sin on the cross he bore in those hours of darkness when he went right down to the cutting off of the mountains. Oh, listen tonight. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, when it says he was wounded, that means he was wounded from heaven. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised from heaven. Heaven wounded him. Heaven bruised him. And with his stripes we are healed. Come back again to the verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That's the purpose for sins. He didn't come to this world to build some great empire. He didn't come into this world to amass some great army and to conquer like a Napoleon. No. The marvel is this tonight. He came because he loved you so. And he came that he might die on that cross and suffer. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Sins. I refer to good old Spurgeon again. He said that never think, he says, that sin is a little thing. For it was sin that caused the Savior to suffer on the cross. We live in a world where sin is excused. People give it all fanciful titles now. And what was wrong is now right. And the whole thing's upside down and inside out. And people say, so what? Everybody does it, and who cares? And we're in a different world. Hold on a minute tonight. It was because of sin that the Lord Jesus suffered upon the cross. My, to treat his suffering as unimportant, as not something special. Oh, the sadness of it. Listen tonight, it was for my sins. Upon the cross, at Calvary, that he died. What a verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just. Oh, Ecclesiastes 7 says, for there is not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. What a verse that is. He says, there's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But Peter says, here's a just man. That's it. He is the just. Perfection. For us, the unjust. Unjust. You know, the Bible says that we are all unrighteous. But it says he is righteous. We are unjust, but he is just. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, Stoop down to wretchedness and dust that guilty worms might rise. Listen tonight, that's the wonder of it all. That the only man who was just, he died for the unjust. What to do? Get this. That he might bring us to God. That was the great plan. To bring us to God. Now, think of this tonight before we close. To bring us to God. You know, if it takes the death and the suffering and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to bring us to God, we must have been far away. I'll tell you we were. Man, through sin, had wandered far away from God. But there's one who's going to die for sin upon the cross, the just one, for you and me, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, tonight, there are some big things in our Bible. And I know tonight that it's a big thing to be saved from hell. But listen, it's just as big a thing to be brought to God. To bring us to God. That's Revelation 5. When they sung that new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." There it is again. Redeemed us to God. What a plan. To bring us to himself. John Bunyan, who spent 12 years in Bedford Prison in England, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan said this. He said that God could have filled heaven with great intelligent beings and mighty angels and seraphims and so on. He says, God could have filled heaven, he says, with great and majestic beings. But he said, God would not be content until he would have sinners from earth saved by grace to be with him, to share his glory forever. Is that not a wonder tonight? That God actually has done everything to get you there. And that you can be there. That Christ has died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Have you ever been brought to God? Born again? Converted? Saved? Forgiven? We're all speaking here. We're all aiming at the same thing. Brought to God and brought to heaven. That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh. That's the passion. His body on the cross. But quickened by the Spirit. The power. All of the Godhead was involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. God raised him Christ rose. He was quickened by the Spirit. Do you have Christ tonight? Many years ago in London, England, in the days of immense poverty in the East End of London, there was what they call, people lived in a garret floor. And these words were written about that woman. It says, in the heart of London City, midst the dwellings of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered. I of Christ, what need I more? Spoken by a lonely woman, dying on a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort, I of Christ, what want I more? That's the reality of it. Do you have Christ tonight? For if you have Christ, you have everything for eternity. Shall we pray?